And my plan for you is unaltered. And so you might say to me, well, Dr. Davis, what about that young man who said, why has God allowed terrible things to happen and this virus? And I'm going to say to you the answer that I think is one of the best that I've ever heard. And it's really simple to a certain degree. And it's called, don't yell at the carpenter. And if you saw someone building a house and they were halfway through, three quarters of the way through, and then you started to yell at them and said, this is imperfect, the carpenter might put down his or her hammer and turn around and look at you and say these words. Well, of course it's imperfect. It's not finished. Would you expect perfection of something that's in process? And you're going to say, well, Dr. Davis, but isn't this perfect? Really? No, and it's not meant to be. And the reason that it's not meant to be is because God does not want to get you for the slightest second confused as to where it is that you're going and what the other side is. You see, you are not supposed to put your treasure here. Rather, store up treasures for yourself in heaven. And I'm going to be very honest with you. This is it. I want my money back. But there is nowhere in the Bible where he says this is it. In fact, he says just the opposite. He says, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that I had planned for those who love me. And I want to say it very clearly as I can. He has never promised that it works out for everybody. He promises to those who believe. All things work to the good of those who believe and are called according to his purpose. And to be perfectly theoretical, there's never a general plan. There's always an individual plan, even though general events occur. Or to put it another way, in any one moment, God can be doing 7.5 billion things at once. Because you've been providentially placed right here, right now, for such a time as this. And the intersection of your life and the intersection of history is the providential plan of God. Because either there is a reason for all of the effects of the variables, or physics lies, and so does God. For if every action has an equal and opposite reaction, then even the effects of the variables have to be taken into consideration. Which is another way of saying you have a choice. You can believe that all of that you see is an accidental occurrence, and there's no rhyme or reason for anything. Or you can believe that in fact God has a plan. In the midst of the storm, he has a plan. And that God has a purpose, that you would find him in the midst of the storm. And that God has a provision to get you to the other side. What is that provision? It's called faith. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I was teaching one time not too long ago, and a PhD in biology stood up and she said, I want to know how it is that I lost my child. What lesson is there in me for that? And as calmly as I could, I said these words. I do not believe that there's anything accidental in this earth that is not factored into the equation. If I were to believe that, I could believe in absolutely nothing at all. But I believe that, in fact, that this is not it, and that the whole purpose of your life, I hope you hear it, the whole purpose of your life is to learn that this is not it, and that Christ has made a way for all the longings that you feel to come to fruition, but it's just not here. And this was never meant to be a perfect place. And that anybody who looks for perfection in imperfection will be disappointed, necessarily. That the only way to get through life and to be on top is to put what is ultimate in what is ultimate, or to put it another way, to ultimately live for that which is ultimate, as opposed to living halfway for something that is ultimate, and as opposed to believing that that which is temporal and passing is forever. And so why did God send them into the storm? So that they might learn that there's a God before the storm ever hit that's praying for you. And so that they might see Christ in the midst of the storm. And so that they might understand how to make it to the other side. Not too long ago, I was driving with my daughter, Catherine, and we were going on South Florida, and it was raining, a torrential downpour, one of our Florida storms. And she said to me these words, "I love storms." I was a little taken back, and I said, "You love storms?" And she said, "Oh, absolutely, Dad. Don't you remember when I was young? Whenever there was a big thunderstorm, you'd take me out to the porch, and we would sit in a rocking chair, and I'd sit on your lap, and I'd feel your big arms around me, and you would say these words, 'There's nothing to be afraid of in the storm. God has power over the storm, and he cares for you.'" She said, "Whenever you'd tell me that, I would feel not only your love, but his, and I remember you holding me, and whenever I feel a storm or hear a storm, I know that my Father in heaven loves me because I felt your love." Yep. When you understand the purpose of the storm, the storms are not near as fearful. And so, ladies and gentlemen, all of life is revelational. And his revelation to us is, his promise is that I'm going to take you to the other side. And not just the current storm, but every storm that you ever face, his promise to you, I'm going to take you to the other side. I hope you believe it, because it's the best way and the only way to get through the storm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for us being together. Lord, help us to find you in the midst of the storm and to not be afraid, to know that you are here, and help us to believe that you have every intention of taking us to the other side. In Jesus' name, amen.